You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. Visit us at mashthosebuttons.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Double Tap. This is a Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC, short for the fighting game community. My name is Static Gorilla, and I am also here with the none other than Meza, who is also known as Meza FGC. What's going on?
What's up, Gabe? What's going on?
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad
all.
For a first time intro. I know
first
it's
time
weird.
Intro, right? It's I mean, my weird. Middle name is kind of like Dre, so I mean, I got a little bit in me, so it's all good. It's cool, right?
Yeah. See there. Okay, there it is. It's yeah. It's cool. It's very, you know. It's cool.
It's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. Good. It's just like that. Well, anyway, we are here, still at home. We're not live. You know, we're not like live streaming, but we are at home. We're in a recording set to be released on April 27th. Recording on Monday, April 26th, and this is episode 217. So, just thanks for tuning in. And again, this is just about recent reviews, just comments about the FGC. And please make sure to follow us on Double Tap FGC. So, first off, let's start out. We don't have any feedback today, but make sure you let us know of any feedback, anything you want to fix, and shout us out. This is where we would kind of typically say those things. However, in the Fighters Corner today, we got a trailer, not for King of Fighters, so I gotta actually fix that. It's actually for Samurai Showdown. So King of Fighters took a little hiatus to the side and decided, let's just go ahead and submit our Hibiki trailer. So what did we find, Meza?
So it's very interesting because Hibiki, known to be from Last Blade, it's this character to me is super. I'm super happy to see that she's actually making appearance in this game. And she looks good. She looks like really good.
I would say she looks good. Just the range is not what we remember so wholeheartedly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, she looks a little slow, but that's how the game is. So I'm not going to complain much.
Yeah, no. I do agree. The game has always been a little on the slow side. So, I mean, but she does look interesting. However, I personally was looking for a Guilty Gear teaser, but I did not get that.
Really?
Yeah. Did we get a Guilty Gear teaser? You felt like we did?
I mean, like, the thing is, though, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it feels like I'm more focused on, like, the fact that this character didn't seem impactful. Like, it's weird because, like, I know a lot of people who really like Hibiki, and I feel like she was kind of a really big character in CBS2.
Yes.
Last Blade is the game that people kind of, I feel like people put it on the back burner because they're like, oh, yeah, Samurai Showdown, swords, and all this stuff. But she really didn't get that limelight until CBS2. So this kind of felt very underwhelming as a presented character. Due to the fact that, I saw it and I was like, oh, I like her, but she's missing some things, in my opinion. And when I mean she's missing some things, I think it's just like more appearance in other games, so that people are more familiar with her. But she has a lot of the tools that she normally would have, from parry to her different types of slashes. The character's gonna be good. I just don't think people are really paying attention too much to Samurai Showdown.
Yeah, not anymore. It's a little too late, I think. I mean, we've said that before, but Better Online might give this game the breath of fresh air that it needs. At the same time, I mean, they also released a special attacks video, so they do show all of her specials. They look kind of good, even her supers. But then again, it's just like really quiet on the scene type thing. Like, it's, and at the same time, if you're an Hibiki fan, then you're gonna be like, all right, yeah, I'm cool. But then if you're not the biggest fan and you're still playing Samurai Showdown and you look at it, you're like, all right, she doesn't look any type of new to the game. Like, what's new that she does that, oh, a parry, okay, maybe, but she doesn't bring a new sort of flavor to the game, I don't think, from what I've been seeing. Like, it's hyped that she's in it, but there's no new, there's nothing.
It's like, for a crossover character, you're not seeing anything like out of this world. You're kind of seeing the same stuff you normally see from Samurai Showdown characters, at least. But I mean, that's the thing. Last Blade in general was very similar to that. So
yeah,
you know, they had different mechanics at least.
I kind of want to take back my ranged slash type talk because it looks like she has shorter normals. But the right at the start of the special attacks video, they show the range slash that's like a mid, and then the range slash that's like a low. So that's pretty disgusting. But other than that, she does have like little cross ups here and there, but like run behind cross ups. But I mean, I don't know. I wasn't like too excited. Parries are nice though. I'm not gonna front.
I mean, she's always had those, but. What's interesting is, like, I was going through the comments in the YouTube, and a lot of people were like, great job, SNK. This is, like, a good addition. You got your Last Blade people. You got your Last Blade 2 people. But then, like, as you get maybe halfway, not even, you start seeing people saying, like, oh, she looks great. CVS2 vibes all over again. If only the game had rollback. You know, stuff like that. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, wait. And somebody responded with, or play the better game that has her in full potential, Last Blade 2, which does have rollback 83. Now, here's the thing. I think it's funny because at the end of the day, you have this, I wouldn't even want to say newer age, but like I would say you have like the CVS2 mindset. That's where people saw Hibiki's real first appearance. Because it was in a AAA title in a sense. But moving towards Last Blade, you know, 1 and 2, you really didn't have that audience who played the game. Like I said, Samurai Showdown overshadowed, like, you know, it was just bigger. So now we're seeing these Last Blade characters getting implemented, but it's just like, you might as well just make a Last Blade game, but don't make it like this. Last Blade's meant to be faster. So I'm kind of unsure. Yeah, that's why Hibiki seems really...
So I just discovered something, kind of. Mm-hmm. At the end of the video, maybe there was a teaser and I didn't catch it for Guilty Gear. But at the end of the video, there was a slice on the screen. Okay, cool. Slice the screen, but somebody else was talking to her. A fight to the death.
Yeah, you didn't and then know?
Well, I was also watching it while I was working. Don't tell anybody. But, who was saying that? I don't know. But it's not definitely not Baiken. Baiken doesn't have such a childish voice. Is it Elfelt? Am I going to get mad at the game for having Elfelt in it? Is it, I don't know who it could be. Is it Dizzy? I can't think. Can you think?
I'm going with Dan Hibiki.
Dan? Dog. Wait, stop it. Hibiki and Dan Hibiki? you making Static Gorilla jokes over there. I don't know. I don't think it can be who has that voice. Bridget with the yo-yo wouldn't be right.
I mean, honestly, it could be. I would say it'd have to be whoever voice acts the same character, maybe.
Oh, what's that girl that was in Overture?
I didn't really play Overture like that.
I didn't either, but there's a girl in Overture that I know nothing about. So that might be it. But did it say Cross? Remember, did it say Samurai Showdown Cross Guilty Gear Strive?
I didn't see that.
It just says Samurai Spirits Cross Guilty Gear. X Guilty Gear. It doesn't say Strive or anything like that. It just says X Guilty Gear collab. So it could be any Guilty Gear.
Yep.
Could be May.
I don't want to speculate too much on that because it's so up in the air. I'm pretty sure people are already like either they're data mining or they're doing something crazy to figure it out and piece, like, you know how people, that's why I like the internet, man. They just sit there and they piece stuff together. They're like, oh, they are the true detectives in the police department. With the when they have the board and they have the red strings to connecting certain boss lords to certain people. That's them,
conspiracy
man.
Conspiracy theorist, yeah. Or Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat, putting everything together.
Yep.
That's speaking of Guilty Gear, we have some location test footage that was happening, that is happening now in Japan at this time. And we're seeing some nerfs already, you know, surfacing. Now, again, this game is still in development. We're going to be getting another beta soon. And yeah, so let's take a look and see. There's some footage of Potemkin versus Chip. And we're seeing Potemkin's jabs get a little bit slower and have a little less priority. Yeah.
I mean, that's good. That's a good start. But I mean, we know we need to nerf the real crime lord here, which is Leo. He is literally unplayable at this point.
Yeah. You cannot... After I just learned him at the end of the thing.
Okay.
I was learning him at the end.
Here's the thing. As a Leo player, I think this is kind of trash. Because here's the thing. People are tech rolling backwards and you have no way to chase them. And I believe this is after 236 HS.
Yep.
Which sucks because even in Exert, it put you behind them, but they usually would have to guess. They'd have to guess, you know, overhead, low, you know. Yeah, that's, you know, standing mid, high, whatever you want to call it. But like there was a mix up there that was either safe or you were taking, you know, risking a little bit. Now, or, you know, he does his defensive stance. Now, the problem with this is because they're tech rolling back, they have no way to tech chase at the moment in Japan, as they're seeing. So this move kind of becomes pointless. He has to kind of dash. And I don't know if it's going to be considered plus when he does it, or at least to some degree where it's like plus one, plus two, maybe, so that he could throw out a move. But yeah, this is looking pretty bad because at the end of the day, this is kind of this character's kit. He's kind of meant to maul you. And I understand with the damage in this game is really high, this could be bad, especially because he also has command grab. It just doesn't look good. It's almost like you have to like slowly walk back and then delay everything and he doesn't get a real mix up.
Yeah, it's sort of like, why is that even taken away? Like, I don't think it needs to be taken away. I also saw footage of Nagoriyuki doing a lot less damage on a move, like in the corner. I don't know if you've seen that one. I'm just checking out the tweet that from the same guy. Let me go ahead and link you over to that.
I'd like Nagoriyuki, to see.
Yeah,
I think I think it is on counter hit, at least for Leo on counter hit. So counter hits are going to be a little bit more, I feel, prevalent.
Right, if you miss like the punish on the cross up, you probably take a bunch. Yeah, they've nerfed Nagoriyuki's damage by a lot. Even though he was a popular character, like fifth most in every region, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's like,
I don't think there's a lot of time to really put much more time into. Oh my god, the damage nerf.
Yeah, the damage nerf is ridiculous.
They said they were gonna nerf it. I'm more looking at as much as I want to look at Nagoriyuki, I'm looking at Soul. They did some really insane nerfing on Soul. We're going to talk about that in a second. But yeah, Nagoriyuki really looks like he is not what we signed up. Look, if everybody's damage is this low, fine. But this feels really low. This might be like detrimental low to the point where I'm like, I don't think the character's going to be worth playing. The combo is cramped because of the low float. Yeah, I mean, this is just a... This is off of grab, though, right? I'm pretty sure this is off of grab.
The trade-off was sort of like his speed versus his... you know, his speed versus everything else. Like speed versus power. Like, give him that damage he needs. And Mei is still doing ridiculous damage with Dolphin stuff. Well, again, it's against Melia. Never mind.
they're doing it against, you know, tougher characters, so I'm not going to complain too much. It seems like they did change the one thing I'm excited about, that we're all excited about, is DPs. So if you block DPs normally, it doesn't seem like you get a punish, but if you just guard it, you get a full punish. So this is something that we were talking about before in the beta, where if you were to block a DP in the air, or even, you know, flawless defend it, you go flying across the screen. So we're just like, well, just never jump, because DPs are pointless. We can't stop them, you know, which is kind of pointless. So with that being said, this is such a good, because they showed for Chip, they showed it for Soul, that now it doesn't matter. As long as we block it appropriately, because like Soul is DP on normal block is zero, because they both jump at the same time. But it seems like when you're in a negative state, so now there's more to being negative. It seems like, what was he plus? Sorry, I'm just looking. Because it's like it's hard to tell. It seems like when you're in a negative, like danger state, if you DP someone, you recover slower. So they're adding little bits, which is kind of dope. Let me just see what the translation advantages and disadvantages when guarding as Vulcan, heavy slash Vulcan in the air. I guess I'm not really understanding that too much. I guess it's depending if it's in the air or not.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a slash version, the heavy slash version. Okay. So yeah, there's a lot of like little nuances. I think the new beta is gonna be completely different. Oh, and it seems like Chip actually does a lot more now. Which
yeah, I saw that clip.
Mm-hmm.
Chips are characters that can be floated with small legs. Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. So Chip has a lot more that people are finding out, and it seems like in this newer version, I guess, that's releasing them in Japan. So, right. Yeah, I mean, I personally am okay with this. I like a lot of these changes. I would like to see more of this stuff released. Preferably, I would like to see what they did to Ramlethal, because I know she's going to have to get some nerfing. She's really strong, but she needs a little bit of buffing stuff. Too. I think she needs some buffing.
We'll see, man. There's a lot going on, but man, a lot of people are saying RIP Leo.
Oh yeah, he's done.
I mean, people are saying that it's also just another layer, so
don't believe that. Yeah. He needs counter hit if that's gonna even be anything. So exactly. no other layer. I mean, look, there's a possibility, right? You know, yeah. Anything's possible, but I don't see it in this one. This one, your wings are clipped, my friend.
So that, unfortunately, hey, don't say that about my Leo. That's unfortunately going to be it in our Fighter's Corner for today. We're going to hop into the randoms at this time, you know, randoms of the FGC, stuff you find on the internet that may be a little bit more FGC culture. We also got an announcement recently, I believe it was today, from Marlin Pie, aka Follow My Lead creator from MVC 2, I'm sorry, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 2 fame, known anime player, very top tier. He announced today that he is a tester for Project L.
That makes me so excited.
Yeah, that's interesting. Coming from a very top tier player, I've never really seen him being like the player on like types of games. He has played Street Fighter 4. I've seen him play that. Seen him play Street Cross Tech, and he was like, he'd be the one to find the cheapest thing. Like, he found an Infinite in Cross Tekken, I believe, and a couple other things. So I think that's a good addition to the team. What are your thoughts other than what I said?
I think his brain functions differently when it comes to at least comboing. Like, obviously, we have our people who set up the ground foundation for some of that stuff. And so does he as well, but I think he could take it to the next level. And I think with him being on the project, I think he's going to be able to see the construction of how the characters should play more. Yeah. Especially, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm pretty sure Mom and Pie is no stranger to League of Legends in general, because, and I know most people aren't, but most of our community does dabble in it. And I'm pretty positive I've seen him, I've heard him play it before we've talked. So it wouldn't surprise me, but I think it's actually a good thing, because it's a fresh pair of eyes that aren't corporate level. Mm. Like, I love my combo fiend. I love that stuff like that. But, you know, I like the Shady K's, and you could see across the board, you know, over there at Power Rangers, it's doing really well. Yeah. You know, the game's a little crazy, but it's doing well. You know, it's meant to be that.
In there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think this is just bringing in one of the Marvel gods, at least, to that extent, to be able to, you know, kind of throw in their two-piece. And look, I expect this game to be a little bit more combo oriented, right, and not one hit does like 45% damage, considering that Riot Games did kind of get the whole system, buy the whole system from, what was the game called that brought
people, Rising Thunder.
Rising Thunder. So I think they already have kind of like this system, and it looks very cartoony like that. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they came in with a different perspective while keeping that Rising Thunder feel, where it's simplistic but yet gratuitous, right? You know, we need that ceiling level. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the level, to the team,
yeah,
for nice them. And I hope they keep him on longer than just one time testing.
I've also seen Marlin Pie play like different games on his stream. I was surprised to see him playing Hearthstone once. He was playing Battlegrounds. Yeah. I'm like, what are you playing Battlegrounds for? But okay, I'll watch. I don't know. I don't know.
You normie. Yeah. Get out of here.
Right? Yeah, I know, right? So yeah, I even remember one time I asked on like a Facebook status years ago, like, oh my God, I wonder if there's anybody who's like good at execution in like Marvel, like if they play Rock Band or something. And what's his name? Jay Rosa was like, yeah, Marlin Pie actually plays really godlike in Rock Band. I'm like, oh my. So kind of scares me.
Chris plays really godlike in DDR. Don't know how that translates.
That was funny. ITG, what was it? ITG playing like One Winged Angel at the break. So random. Speaking of randoms, there was a kind of a small leak, but it was a fake leak of what is the game called? Of Project L. People were saying that there was going to be a review happening or like a reveal, and it ends up being fake. But there's so much going on around the game lately that I think we just got to be on our toes.
Expect
something. Like they're so close to something. Like there is something big that's coming.
Well, keep in mind, Otakon is reopening back up. E3 is coming back around.
Yeah, E3.
We have also Comic-Con down the street, pretty much. So there's a lot of conventions with, you know, the vaccination coming out and everything like that, and everybody getting vaccinated. We can start to see possibly getting back into this flow of, you know, video games and releases, especially for fighting games, which we kind of been waiting for. So I wouldn't be surprised if we did see something come out for Project L sometime soon, considering most of their teams have been doing really well, from Project L to Runeterra to, you know, TFT. Jeez, you name it. It's something they got their hands in everything, man. So I definitely think they are going to kick it off sooner than we expect, because Valorant got kicked off sooner than anyone expected. So I'm hoping we keep it very flexible and accessible for online, because, you know, this they're known for doing online stuff. So I hope that we can keep a stabilized. That's all I'm looking for, is stability online, because we're still in that era where people aren't going to go out as much.
Yeah. No. And that is. So you brought a couple other random stuff into the randoms. Yes. Let me know what they are.
Okay. So I actually got to play in the closed beta for a very interesting game that was announced at last E3, I believe it was. Oh, no, the Game Awards 2019.
Game Awards. Yeah.
Sorry, E3 is on my brain. And this is a very interesting game because, you know what? Let me just tell you what it is first. It's called Naraka Blade Point. And I did not hear about this until Saturday, like Friday night-ish. And it was right after I was done my stream. And what made it interesting was I was like, oh, katanas, greatswords, samurais? I was like, this is going to be weird, right? But as I watch somebody play it, and then I was like, all right, I gotta get in on this. All right, you know, it's too good to be true. It is literally Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon for fighting game players. It is open world, yes. It is a battle royale, which I know battle royales has become the staple lately, but this is a very cool concept for battle royales. They have actual combos, they have an actual fighting system that makes it very difficult to just maul your opponent. So you know how in some games we'll see like this, like the Naruto, like, you know, battle arena games, you just run up and you press buttons and you'll teleport and press buttons, teleport. This, they have a system where if you're attacking, you can attack and you will both clash. At the same time, you have a combo system where you could do like left click, right click and it turned into an armored move. You could just do a flat out armored move. You could do an air launcher. You could stop midway in your combo and do an air launcher. But what makes it very interesting is you can also do a counter deflect, which it reminds you probably of like the whole Samurai Showdown where you deflect a weapon. And guess what? You actually take the weapon out of their hand. Like they actually get their weapon knocked out of their hand. They have to pick it back up. They get pushed back. There's so many cool concepts that is in this game. They also have like dodging bullets. Like you actually sway to dodge bullets, but what makes it beautiful, and I think you guys should definitely check it out, is the ability to literally climb on anything and go anywhere.
Yeah, I immediately got Tenchu vibes.
Like you're getting Tenchu vibes. I just keep saying Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, man.
Yeah,
I keep thinking like that whole concept, and it's really, really awesome because it's a beautifully, beautifully aesthetic looking game too. Mm-hmm. So it makes it almost like you're in that world and in that moment. So like what was the one game that just came out that everybody was looking forward to and it did really well? Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh
yeah. It has like some of those vibes, but it's even more over the top. So you can customize your weapons to look all cool. They have actual character classes. So you have your own abilities, which make it even more fantastic. Like I know I'm bigging up this game and it's a battle royale, so that's probably a turnoff to other people, but they actually ran a tournament called the Koi Tournament. Now, I originally thought today, officially, because they ran it yesterday on Sunday. So that was the 25th. It was the first tournament. And I thought this was a community-driven tournament. And I actually found out it was the company who actually ran the tournament, which was very intriguing. This game is on Steam, so people don't have to feel like the game is, you know, they got to go pay for it or anything right now. As of right now, it is free to play, but it is testable. They're only in the testing period still. It's made by 24 Entertainment and Hangzhou 24 Entertainment. I've seen some of their games before, I believe. They do more obscure stuff. But what makes it... I know, dude, it's a lot. It's a lot.
No,
I'm sorry.
I just noticed the first comment on the video that you have linked. It says 2010 developers, zombie, 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 zombie. 2020 developers, samurai, 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 samurai.
Very
samurai.
True. Very true.
So, I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
But going back to the cool concept is they actually was kind enough to make a community tournament. And this was the actual company itself. The Rocket Blade Point company actually made the game. They made the tournament live for people to play in. They already had a custom, what is it? They had a custom lobby. So you know how in most battle royales, they don't do custom lobbies unless you're on LAN? Mm-hmm. Well, they had a room full of 60. It had like 8 spectator slots. They literally ran a tournament, and it was really well done. People really enjoyed it. People like flocked to it. I think they said they had over 150,000 views for that tournament alone. That is phenomenal for a brand new game. So I just wanted to say that. Sorry, I know I took a lot of time with that, but yeah, I think this is a good game, a good addition to something obscure that fighting game players will really like. Because it has that fighting game element into it, but it also has like all these other cool, you know, fantasy elements into it that we're seeing in a lot more battle royale games.
Competitive 1v1 with footsies involved.
Or if you don't want to do that, you could do trios. There's a lot of footsies and solos. I'm talking about like people never take footsies. It's you know, super uncommittal.
What I'll say is like you've got Call of Duty. I'll place solos in Call of Duty Warzone. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard because I'm trying, you know, you got to deal with all these campers. Whereas in a game like that, you would find somebody and you can go sort of one-on-one with them.
Oh, yeah.
And then you still have a chance. They're not like sneaking up on you. Though you can get snuck up on. But I think that's kind of a good aspect to take. Now, I still don't think the Battle Royale aspect has been overdone. Like there are still many ways you can do Battle Royale. Quite absolutely. Smartly. Like the Pac-Man game recently came out, I believe that's a battle royale. if there can be more, I mean, I'm imagining, could there be a fighting game that could do battle royale?
You're waiting for that creativity.
Right. I think Capcom has something on their plate that they can make a Lost Planet battle royale.
Oh, dude, I would love Lost Planet battle royale. That would be so sick.
But he's busy working on Resident Evil, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I feel like there's a lot of, excuse me, there's a lot of options that are available for battle royale. I've kind of like grown very tiresome of the same style of battle royale. It's like, up, gotta give him a gun. Up, gotta give them an ability with a gun. You know, like, it's all these same concepts. And, you know, the Forerunner beta for Naraka Blade Point was just such a fresh of breath air. Like, I've been playing a lot of different battle royales, and people know I stream them. This has been, like, the fighting game. Like, I told people, I was like, I'm playing this. Like, you normally hear me say I'm playing something, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play it. I'll stick with it for a bit. This game felt kind of like I was playing a real fighting game that was technical. I didn't feel good at the game. I was like, I'm bad. Like, I'm bad, and I have so much work cut out for me to get better at this game. I went to go watch the tournament. I talked to some of the people who are playing the game, who are taking it more serious. I've watched people. I actually genuinely think this is a real fighting game in a different format, in a different setting, that people just have to learn to be open-minded to. And like you said, who knows? We might get an actual fighting game battle royale, whether it's over the top, you know, doing like a Diablo style, or if we get it like this, you know, there's a lot of different options. And it's cool because the abilities don't feel overwhelming, but they're there. You know, there's like one or two abilities, nothing too crazy. It's still oriented around that fighting system. Obviously, you can have guns and stuff like that, but, you know, those things are very slow and not methodical as much, depending what you're doing in the midst of battle. So it's really cool when you get these elements of three different weapons, but it could probably expand from there. You know, we can get an endless assortment of weapons. So I am excited to see this game keep getting developed. This is a 60-player battle royale that I think everybody that plays fighting games, if you like fighting games, I think you'll like this. From everybody who's played fighting games, generally, that came through my stream, they're like, oh, this looks so dope, dude. This is like, it's like a weird, like, battle royale. Like, they're like, it's a weird battle royale for a fighting game. I'm like, no, yeah, that's what it is. I'm like, that's essentially what it is right now. So I think there's a lot to go off of there.
Whew. All right. So speak to me about your next thing.
Okay. So the next thing on the list to kind of talk about here, we haven't been really talking about it too much. I've been kind of waiting to get a little bit more of their grounding, and they have finally stuck it. Queen of the Hill series, that's 100% supported by Dynamic Focus as well. This is pretty much a Soul Calibur 6. They do other games. They do like Tekken, but they've been doing Queen of the Hill series for Soul Calibur 6 for the females of the FGC. It's been phenomenal. Mascherino's been supportive behind them, as well as a choir. But what's even more awesome is they've actually come into their own, and they got a sponsor that's bigger than they thought they would get, which was Decay. I believe it's Decay. I'll tell you in 2 seconds once I get there. They got a sponsor for makeup, and it's good because, like, you know, all females like makeup, and that's a good thing, right? You know, or most. They got Urban Decay to fully support them as a brand. They're behind them. They are now working hand in hand with them as they are providing them with prizes. So it's a different incentive this time around. Obviously, there's money, but for the females, they're getting prizes like makeup and extending out the hand, that it's more than just the money. And I do like that a lot, especially for the other players who are maybe not the most competitive but can get into it and try to win something. But I think it's also really phenomenal that they're allowing also, yes, transgenders to play in it, which I think it's good that they're supporting the whole community of females, not just one or two, or saying like we're excluding. So I think that's really nice that they're trying to give everybody the benefit of the doubt and actually try to give them something that they can utilize outside of just money in the, you know, money from the game. And I think that's really cool that they're doing that. So they actually have their four players solidified for their four. They did 4 weeks qualifiers. Oh, well, they did 3 weeks qualifiers. So So they did 2 weeks, April 10th, April 17th. Then they did April 24th LCQ. And then they did like an in-between to kind of pull that all together because they needed a fourth person, obviously. So they had one more, I guess they had like a side qualifier for one extra player who they duked it out. What's cool is on the 2nd of May, which is right around the corner, that is going to be on Sunday, they will be doing, they'll be doing the finale, which is going to be a round robin between four players. So we're going to get to see a lot of Soul Calibur action. But I didn't even announce to you guys the players, which I wanted to do. They actually have Storia, who is a Ivy player, and Amy Linehart, who is also an Ivy player. And then I believe from what I was watching, and I apologize if I get it wrong, I do believe I can actually tell you guys right now. Because they have In Denial, who has played, I believe, every week. I don't think she's missed a week at all. But she plays, if I believe I'm correct, I think she plays Amy.
You got me. I don't watch this.
I apologize if I don't remember what character you play. I'm trying my best. It's a lot of characters that I see often. And Smash Kyrie Late. So there are tons and tons of females out there that play. I think they've been having numbers from 10 to, I think the first one got like 20 something. So that was really good. And then it's been kind of, it's dwindled down to like 10, you know, 5, like 10 to 8 to 10, which is okay. Look, it happens. Nobody should feel, you know, they lost that on anything. And correction. I believe Smash Kyrie Light plays Raphael. So that is a big thing. The other thing was, I think this is really good for a lot of the females just because there's some push there. And yeah, she plays Cassie. I knew I was thinking wrong. She plays Cassie. So that's who In Denial plays. But yeah, no, this is a good thing for the females of the FGC. I think they need to keep supporting each other, and I'm glad to see a lot of the FGC in general supporting each other on this one. They're getting good views, they're getting good support. They've had like match arenas up to like $600-$700, I believe. So that's been really good. They started off the tournament this week at like $330 before the tournament even started. It's $330 in the match arena. So that's actually really good, phenomenal support. And getting, I just hope to see this keep continuing to give more limelight to a lot of the female community when it comes to at least playing Soul Calibur 6. And I know they do a Tekken series, but I think this is good because now it'll give more confidence, hopefully, to a lot of these females to be able to play also in other tournaments, competing against these other competitors and not feeling like, you know, kind of down in the dump, like there's nothing for them when, you know, it's hard when you go 0-2 and nobody wants to play with you, maybe because they say you're a girl or they don't think you're dedicated or they don't feel like you want to train hard enough. And we do see that a lot in the community. So I think it's nice that we can give them a platform to kind of work up to that point where they can feel, you know, everything's different now. It's not like how it used to be, where it used to be grimy, you know, sit on the floor, get into it, you know what I mean, like where we had to go through that. I think we should be structuring it differently to allow a better flow of whether it be females, transgenders, etc., etc., whatever, you know, any type of gender that you are, there should be a ground basing to help support the community get into that now where we all can play on the same playing field and enjoy playing against each other, one another, regardless of our gender. It's just about the video games. So this is really cool to see that they're pushing it and they're doing a really good job with it.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, now we're going to go back over to, I believe, 2 weeks ago about the CPT panel. Big Scythe had actually linked us over to it. Shout outs to him over there on Twitter. And he had linked us to, well, there was a question that actually the last time we both had recorded and we were both on, we talked about like a sort of panel from a question that he also had. Would there be a good panel for a, like an FGC panel of two players just discussing some type of stuff. They must have heard our talk on it because CPT did a which region is the strongest with Rob TV and Brian F. Now, Rob TV and Brian F. have actually been pretty synonymous with doing some little panel talks. I mean, they both release a lot of content about Street Fighter V. Brian F., definitely some good content. I do recommend subscribing over to his YouTube or checking him out before subscribing. I don't know, whatever you want to do. And he's also on Twitch a lot. Sometimes he'll record while he's doing Twitch. Very educational stuff, but they had a little bit of a discussion about what's a better, you know, what's a better region in US. And then it ended up being what's the better region in the world. And then they had to go, like, Brian F. was like, Japan. But then somebody was in the earpiece was like, no, we meant like who's best in the US. But they had a pretty good conversation about what makes the best and who would be in like a top five. And like, they ended up just like agreeing, but I think it was a meme. They ended up agreeing that Midwest is the best. And I'm like, who's in Midwest? Just Rob TV or something? So, I did like these aspects that they were bringing to CPT. And this is something that we were talking about. Like in between games, we need a little bit more panel or sort of like discussion based things happening. Just to keep like people watching while in between certain clips. So I am a big fan of sort of things like this where they're having a good conversation. And it's not just like you have your top players making these assumptions. No, these are players that are easily approachable at like tournaments. Somebody's not getting like 1,000 views on their like Twitch, or maybe they have a couple hundred, 300, like they are big names, but they're not the biggest name. Like they're up there in rank, but they're not the highest rank, but they still have some sort of you know, rapport or success in the games. You so know, they do know what they're talking about.
You know what I really, I'm going to be honest. Look, I don't normally get a chance to say this, but I love the dynamic between Rob TV and Brian F, especially in a community talk like this. I think they bring a... Like, it's almost like they're the perfect... You remember when Sejam and Tasty Steve were on the mic for the first time, and you're like, God damn.
I'm like, or why is Ultra like, David here?
I know, right? Or you hear, like, James Chen and Ultra David for the very first time. Yeah. Or, better yet, you hear Yipes and, like, maybe Chris Matrix, right? Just first time you're hearing them, you're like, this is wild. Like, this or is... Like, they just so synced up.
Or, like, Rush Hour.
Exactly. So... I felt like this has been a very great vibe, and I think that this actually, like, I looked at 1 minute of it and I was like, I need to watch the rest.
I want to watch the rest. Like, I was folding clothes listening to it 1 week.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's dope. I would want to see them put out more content. I think this is kind of the direction of the community, and I think, you know, considering that, you know, the question was stated, you know, we need more of this in my opinion to get this more get more people involved and grow the community. I think that's happening, whether they heard us or not. I hope they heard us. This is amazing because it's no longer just tier listing. I hate that. I hate tier listing. I think tier listing is such a joke at this point that it's like, we're not talking about what are factual, like actual factual things. Right. Are we talking about, are the players strong? Are the characters strong? And this is the first time I feel like we, like listening to other people than us talk about it, that actually you're talking about like, who, which is the strongest region? We have to go back to a little bit of our roots, right? We haven't done that. We haven't done the East Coast versus West Coast. We haven't done the North America versus Japan. Like really, we haven't done that. And Europe's now into the play. Like imagine doing this for like Tekken. There's so many different regions. I don't know who the hell's the strongest in Tekken. I thought Korea used to be.
Yeah.
But well, now
oh no, you know, South Korea.
Pakistan definitely. Is? Like
Arsenal Ash, right?
Mind blown. So I'm just like, when was the last time we did that for Street Fighter or just in general for fighting games? And I think this is a beautiful thing that we should
definitely tough these days, because I mean we've only gotten CPT. The last Capcom Cup was just matches, you know, just like this guy, exhibition matches, so to speak. However, the last Capcom Cup online we had last week was pretty darn good. You guys had a week to watch it. We were talking about the results. Mago actually won it. Mago Delgado. And there was one clip where, I don't know if you saw it, where he did target combo against EX Chariot Tackle by Tokido. Tokido didn't use Ryu, I mean Akuma, at all during the top eight.
I mean, are you surprised though?
No, because he's been using Urien a lot. Yeah, but it's like the stuff he's been doing with Urien was not, I mean, there was Unga Bunga, but it was like stuff you'd never see him do, like a Urien actually do. It was crazy. It was definitely a top eight to watch. So there go your spoilers for that one. I do recommend watching it. But if you were to say, like I personally think that there are a lot of really good West Coast players. Like LA area is full of a lot of Street Fighter V talent. Oh, even yeah. Talent that have left from New York. Like, this is not really a focus attacky, but I'm gonna just go real quick and answer the question of the video. I think West Coast strongest players is like JB. Dual Kevin is a strong Midwest. I'll give him that. Other West Coast, Valle. If he wants to be the secret Wednesday night fights winner.
I think Valle is like always like. Valle is that pepper. Chris Redfield rocket launcher that's always in the back pocket, and you don't know why, but it's there. Like, Jill, get down! That's all I imagine.
What's funny is I can't name them all. Like, you got SSK Samurai. What's his name is out there now? Nephew's out there. Neon, I don't know where Neon is from. I think it's Midwest as well.
I mean, I'll even have to say it. Like, even though there are not, like, super... super awesome, strong. Like, there's still people who can contend. You still have, Gustavo.
Midwest Rider, Midwest as well.
Mm-hmm. What's the or Abigail Texas. Player?
Oh my goodness, yes. He plays Dragon Ball now. Yeah. He plays Broly and Gotenks. Is with an R. He took a break recently. Renard.
No, not Renard.
Oh my god, it's a kid.
Cool Kid.
Cool Kid 93, yeah. Yes.
Cool Kid still out there. Like, there's so many strong damn players. Yeah. Like, how could you like say
East Coast? But East Coast has, I think, the most strongest. Like, you have Punk.
You think so?
Who doesn't pick a side? Idom, definitely number one. Punk, number one.
Wait. You Smug. Said East Coast, right?
Yeah,
East Coast. Oh, yeah, no, it's free because we have Knuckle
Dude. Idom, still. Smug, and Do. And I can pick a top four or five out of that.
Yeah,
if you want to make a random assumption out there, like I don't know, pick a Sagat player or something because Sagat's really good now.
I mean, isn't Zaffarino in New York?
But there's a lot of like. but then you also got to take in Space Boy. Sakura has been in every top eight of Wednesday night fights.
What's his name? Jarvis? Isn't
Javits? Javits?
Isn't he East Coast?
Javits is New York.
Yeah.
But is Javits good? I don't know.
Well, no. Here's my thing.
Good at finding tech?
Yes.
Hell yes.
But that's the big thing. I feel like New York has accessibility to the tech monster. So if we had to go to the lab, realistically, if somebody said, hey, we're building a team, build a proper team, have a coach or tech monster, tech lab guy, cool. Yeah. Guess what? Yeah. I'm getting him and I'm gonna be like, yo, this is our four-man team. You're the fifth man. You're not even playing. You're just the secret fifth man. Like, it's,
right.
It's like basketball where you have five players and you have that sixth man. Yeah. That's the secret man. He is that. That's what he is. So
funny you say that. Yeah. What's his name? Chris G. The day that Rose dropped, I saw his tweet and he says, hey, Javits, give me the most damaging corner combo and the most damaging mid-screen combo.
Yep.
And that's all I need.
See?
And then he was like, I got you, homie.
Technically, Chris is still East Coast, so don't get that fooled, even though he's on the West Coast. Or Midwest. Technically, West Coast now? Yeah?
Yeah, he's Vegas now.
He's okay. Yeah, that's West
Coast. He's with Marn. It's funny, he had a first attend with Marn, and they were playing online, and they live with each other.
Oh, nice.
And Marn went upstairs and lost like 10-4.
Marvel?
So, no, Street Fighter V.
Okay. I'm glad to see Marn's playing.
Who do you think Marn is using?
Who do I think Marn's using?
Yeah.
Blanca?
No, Ed.
I'm not surprised.
Right.
He needs a character that bulldozes through people when they're...
He needs a character like Zero. And now, I mean... But
I just thought Blanca because, I thought that character actually kind of would do what he wants it to do.
But, right.
Yeah. Right. It's not a good character, though.
With that being said, we're going to finish up our randoms of the FGC. This is going to be our last segment. It's going to be a focus attack. And listen, we're going to be answering another question that we saw on Twitter that was directed to us. If you want to ask any questions, definitely hit us up either in the Discord or even in our on our Twitter page, which is, again, Double Tap FGC. And we got another question from Big Scythe. And the question is quite a good one. We looked at it. We're like, we haven't answered this one. So he asks, fellas, I got one for y'all. I want all y'all to tap in. You know, when tournaments come back, it's going to be crazy hype. I did say that, actually. March 2020, when our last one, when we saw that CPT was canceling, I said, guys, I think it's going to be amazing when, like, Combo Breaker comes back and it's back in business and it's going to be booming, you know, like, it's going to be a feel-good type thing. So then, to go on, yes, he does say it's going to be crazy hype. But what would winning a tournament mean to you now versus what it meant to you 10 years ago? So 10 years ago, April 2011. So that's like the start of Marvel Infinite. No, Infinite. No. Oh my God, what is my problem? Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom. Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. Blaze Blue. Go. Meza? No?
No, I'm answer? Here.
Please. I have to think as well.
Do I think it's interesting? Because I never really like sat there and thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
What would it mean to me now versus what it meant 10 years ago?
All right, so let's start with the 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
10 years ago, what were we meaning?
Obviously, Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean, technically Melty Blood. Because 10 years ago, roughly. That would have put me in Melty Blood / Blaze Blue Central Fiction time period. So I would say, winning a tournament that time? I don't know. I mean, I went through a couple phases. I think Melty Blood would have been, there wasn't really tournaments that I was playing in. I was more or less like competing in-house. So I would say moving and transitioning into winning. What would it meant to me to win some? I'll just use overall back then, right? Winning something back then would have been more impactful to me compared to now, I feel. Due to the fact that I felt like, not that I felt like I was more into it, but you were fighting for respect more.
There was a lot more exposure to look for at that time. Because now everybody can stream. Before, it was like, streaming was like, if I can get on the internet, oh man.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I just felt it more like I wanted to represent myself. I wanted to represent, you know, where I was located, my locale, the people I'm with. Like, those are the people I train. Like, think about it. You train with, like, you know, if you train with someone like 10 Stars or, you know, Marlon Pyre, let's just say Rob TV or, you know, Daigo. You want to be a strong representation for what you train with. So it's kind of rough to not put that pressure on yourself back then. Now I don't give a fuck. This is all just truth. I don't. But because, like, I am the pinnacle at this point. So when you come play BB Tag, back when I was like really before COVID and I was really playing BB Tag, I was the pinnacle around my this area generally. So I'm like, you know, I'm this part of PA. Then there's another part of PA that I'm like, all right, well, all of PA, we all got to be strong. I'm not going to be considered one of the weak ones that you're around. So you need to, I want people to demand themselves to be great around me. So, I mean, back then, yeah, it was a reverse role. So do I feel like winning a tournament now means more? Absolutely not. Like, I would love to win a tournament now. I think winning a tournament now would be enjoyable in the sense of, damn, that was fun. Let's do it again because I like everybody I play against or play with. But and there's money on the line now. It's like more esportsy official. So if I'm playing to win like that, it's not really, honestly, in my opinion, going to mean as much. I would like it to still mean the same feeling that I used to have, where me gunning after, you know, Justin Wong is a thing.
versus now where I'm like, do I really care to go after Justin Wong? Not really. I want to be the Justin Wong that people have to come after. So it's like, as you get older, you start looking at it differently. So no, for me, it's, I would personally, I would love the same essence of what old school tournaments felt like. Like when we come back, that hype and that want for, that hunger for being great at the game versus how many zeros are going to be on the in my pocket at the end of the day. That's how I want it to be. I want the zeros to just come with it. But we all know when you're playing for money and it's getting a bigger pot, it's no longer about, you know, winning for self-respect or anything like that. It's kind of about the zeros. So it's sad. Sad.
Yeah. So I'm trying to look up, what is it called? I'm trying to look up results for Winter Brawl 2011 to see what games there were. Because I'm not sure if that was the... No, it was too early to be any type of big... I don't remember if it was... which Winter Brawl that was. I knew I went to it because that was the year that I started going to the events. I know it was at the Sheridan, definitely. But in 2010 was the actual tournament for Season's Beatings Redemption. That was in 2010. That was already 11 years ago. That's the Season's Beatings where Gamer B showed up and beat Justin Wong. And it was Gamer B versus Momochi. That was the Daigo DP on Dalsim full screen Fierce. And I bring that up because that was a time where I was watching all these events from home. My first tournament was in 2010 for Super Street Fighter 4. And 10 years ago, like this, 10 years ago from now, I would have been playing Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, which was just coming out. And I would probably be going to like the arcades to play as much as I could between classes and work. So at this time, 10 years ago, I was just still trying to find my footing, trying to find my main character, which at the time was like Chun-Li and whoever else I can get my hands on, because I was always picking different. I was just trying to learn the game as much as possible, but never really grasping how to get good frames, things like that. So what it meant, however, at the end of, I would say at the end of the life cycle of Vanilla Marvel vs. Capcom 3, winning meant a whole bunch because I was going to Body Shop in 2011. When did it come out? Did it come out 2010? I think Marvel vs. Capcom. No, 2011, February 2011. I just looked that up. I'm going to find it here. Yeah, February 2011 was when regular Marvel vs. Capcom 3 came out.
It's been a while,
okay,
right?
Yeah, February 15th, 2011. So that's when that came out. And we were trying to find like the most cheapest things. I remember I didn't win until I won an actual tournament where it was like 12 people. I didn't win that until like maybe the fall of that year. That was when I remember like there was two events happening at the same day. And like the most broken people would go to like they would just go to like closer events. I went to the farther one, which happened to be one of the last Body Shops during that time. And I ended up like winning. And it wasn't easy. I beat Royal Flush. I don't know if you remember. Not Royal Flush. Royal Flush is out in the West Coast. My bad.
I was going to say Royal Flush. You beat him?
No, that dude is godlike.
He's doing good too. I talked who's to him a few days ago.
No, there was another kid who's a Blanca player, and then he became a Urien player, and he was doing amazing. Oh, man. I forgot his name. It was something Royal. Oh, God. It's one of my like profile pictures. Anyway. It was a good event. It's like a local mom and pop video game shop that we would all hang out at with the Body Shop. It was Next Level Gaming, next level in Jersey. I forget that is. Doesn't matter. I'm forgetting everything. It's 10 years ago. But winning that, I think it was Flash Metroid that said it before. Like the thing that keeps people playing the most is when they get that taste of victory. And getting that one taste of victory makes you want it even more, especially when you're losing. And then you're like, let me get one more. And that's a fighting game habit. And I still have that sort of feeling today, like winning today. Would it I don't know if it would mean anything because I think it's different these days. Now, winning back 10 years ago is sort of like, whoa, he's good. He beat this tournament. He's on the scene. And he's the one that we should probably like watch for. You know, or not even watch for, but like, you know, you would see easier results and you could watch him on, you can maybe see if he had a stream or not, but he didn't. So then we'll look out and then say, oh, but you can't beat this guy because he was at this event. So maybe if he goes to that event, we'll know that you can beat him or not. Whereas nowadays, if you win in a tournament, nothing will be said.
Yeah, true.
And you know what? And nothing will be said because it's like, okay, but we know that that guy's the best and we watch him all the time on Street Fighter and you're not even playing him online. So now what? But at the same time, it's sort of like, okay, you won that tournament. There's already a bunch of other tournaments happening. That's why majors aren't even like majors anymore. They're just more like still regionals, but it's like, okay, you beat these people, but can you beat Punk, Brian F, Rob TV, you know, Smug? And then I say that also because like if you're not building already a rapport, then it's like, what's the even use of winning? Rao won Winter Brawl, remember?
Yeah.
And Street Fighter V wasn't a main game, and Rao won Winter Brawl. And nothing happened. Like, it was no blow up. People were sort of like, okay. I think he beat who's the Akuma player from New York? Tega.
Yeah.
I believe he beat Tega for that with Nakali.
Yeah.
So with all that being said, it's like maybe I have to sort of, I don't know. Like you have to be so consistent. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Look at Punk.
Compared to
Punk
before.
Punk hit it on the nose. He got so consistent that everybody was waiting for him to beat at Evo, and then he didn't, but he still has the following. He still has the stream. He still has the setup. He still has the sponsors. He hit it on the nose.
I feel like the level of play when Punk was coming up was stagnant, though. You have to be realistic. So when we were getting those Red Bulls,
yeah,
there was only L.I. Joe to contest him and like maybe two other people, and mostly it was from New York.
Alucard was the one that was,
oh, yeah, now stopping him. Because he was coming from upstate New York.
He was Midwest, and then he was working in New York for a while at the start of the game.
Like, I know exactly where they were. I'm telling you, they're upstate New York. Like, not Buffalo, but like they were like that
upper. Anywhere that's not Manhattan.
Let's just say from where I used to live, it would have taken at least like 2.5 hours, maybe 3. So I would have been staying there if I was going to do anything. Yeah. But,
Rumble to the Thunder people, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is F3.
This is the
F3 house. So I think the competition level has significantly spiked a lot higher now.
Yeah.
Compared to before. So that's why I like Punk's time was really good. If you were super serious and you really got the right training partners, and you really grinded for the right things and did the right things, and you know, had consistency. Like, and I'm not talking about like, oh, top three consistency, you're getting third place occasionally.
No, you needed to get first.
Just first, consistently. You were definitely going to keep everything that you got and more. Yeah. I think now it would be a lot harder. If I won like the first tournament offline, better be a big damn tournament that I'm going to. It better be a tournament that matters and a game that matters.
Listen, a perfect example is MOV. MOV was in each Evo Grand Top 8, I believe. Almost each Evo top 8 for Street Fighter 5. And his name doesn't come up sometimes.
Nope.
I mean, why? He's like the best Chun-Li.
But it doesn't matter.
Exactly. He didn't win.
It doesn't matter. He didn't. He wasn't impactful as a personality. Nowadays, everything's personality.
Right. Yeah.
Two on top of
it. You remember Infectious for not moving at Evo.
Dude, that was insane. Like, I didn't even know who the hell Infectious was until we went to Evo. And I was like, yo, that guy's sick. Yo, I got to watch more of that guy. I was like, how many characters does this guy play?
And then who won?
So many things.
Who won the last live Evo? Was it it was the Sagat Karen player. What's his name? Sagat Karen. Oh my goodness!
Top of my head,
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. This is terrible. He won Evo, and we're still like, no, he didn't.
No, go look at. Are you talking about Banchan?
Yeah, Banchan. Thank you. I had like, to think about chicken.
Remember, because you said Karen, I had to really think hard because I was like, who the hell?
Well, I remember who he beat. I remember he beat Angry Bird.
Yeah.
Is it Angry Bird or the other bird?
Which one's the bald one? Is Angry Bird?
Oh, then it's the other bird. Deadly Bird is a Smash player from PA.
You're talking about Big Bird,
but it's Big Bird, maybe. Yeah. Big Bird FGC. I think that's him.
But no, like overall, I think the question is awesome because it does make you look back. And no, depending what game I'm playing nowadays, I would say the tournament is not as impactful. I'm older now, and it has nothing to do with me being older really defining how I, like, I'm not like, oh, you know, I don't have that hunger. No, I still have that hunger. I think a lot of people our age has that hunger and older. I think it's just you start understanding the priority of what really matters. And yes, it's not always about the zeros. Yes, it's not always about the respect, but it's a combination of understanding that if I go and play in this tournament, what am I really gaining from it? Am I playing the strongest players, or am I, you know, playing subpar players? Am I trying to focus on consistency? Am I trying to focus on being, you know, because I hate that concept of being the best in the world. I think it's I think it's a stupid goal when there's other goals that amount to it, such as one of mine's is I want to play the strongest people in the world and beat them.
Yeah.
Is that not into the same goal?
I think the goal for me has always been to just get the crowd moment, like the hype moment. I still...
You got to become a bad guy.
Yeah. Like, should I just become a WWE wrestler and just like...
I mean, that's what everybody's doing nowadays.
Get the crowd pop, you know?
I mean,
look, I know Bad Bunny, right? Like,
I mean, you come in as like, you know, honestly... I'll be real with you, Gabe. You have the second persona. You know, Static Guerrero comes out. People are not happy anymore.
Savage Gorilla?
I'm telling you, dude. Well, like, it's just one of those things nowadays. Things have changed drastically. And that includes with, you know, how our mindsets think. And I think that's why this question is so impactful. Because you look back at your 10 years ago self, you're like, damn, there's so many things I really, really wanted to, like, I just wanted that gratuitous moment. Like, I don't even think I just wanted to win tournaments back then. I think I just wanted to beat specific people. Now that I look at it.
I kind of just wanted to show off.
See, but
yeah,
like,
you always want to beat specific people. Like, when you went to Evo in 2019, you were so hyped to just try to play that BB tag player. You were like, I don't even care that I lost. I took one or two games off.
Yeah, because it means that, like, to me, the definition of getting stronger, it's like an anime, right?
Yeah.
Not a bad anime where they just give you the powers. It's one where you slowly build yourself up to the point where you're working your ass off and you're every day you're challenging the master of each different school or just another student and you're working that craft. And I always felt like the craft to getting better was finding pinpoint people to beat. You'd always hear me. I'm like, all right, I got to beat 10 stars this week. I have to beat them.
Yeah.
I was like, Christina, it's not even on the map. I'm not even thinking about that. It's like 10 stars first. All right. Can't beat 10 stars. All right. Don't worry. We're getting closer. We're taking one or two characters. Okay. Who's next? Kyohei this week. All right. Kyohei. All right. I got to focus on Kyohei. Chris this next week. Nah, forget about Chris. Don't worry about that. Then I was like, you know, I looked at it. I was like, every tournament I've been in, I've seen F-Champ like right one game or two away from me where he's on the opposite side. I'm like, all I have to do is make it to the end of the bracket. I'll play him to get out. If I could just beat him, I'll get my moment. But if I beat him, I leveled up, right? You know, that's how I look at it. So when I got, like, for instance, like I got at Apex, I think it was 2012 we went to?
13. Yep.
That was the one where we had no sound.
Yep, correct. Okay. And all we heard was Smash.
Yeah.
And we just heard Bowser spinning around in the other room.
That
was the FGC in the Smash community. I'm not saying that Smash community is not FGC, but we were in a completely different environment where only like fighting game heads that were watching Marvel were sitting in the tiniest area of a huge venue. And we're all just sitting there watching the screen and nobody else is watching with us.
You know,
the funniest event ever.
But yeah, like that event ever. I fought against Flux. And he was like, dude, if we had sound, you would have beaten me. He's like, you would have heard this missiles and you would be up there playing F champ. Do you know how that made me cry inside?
Oh, man.
Dude, but those are like, I feel like compared to now, I'm not like, oh, I need to beat F champ. I need to beat him. I'm like, all right, what's the game I'm going to play that I'm going to stick to that actually gives me that fire under my belt, you know, under my seat, that makes me go, you're going to be great at this if you just stick with it. And that's why I feel like nowadays we are always looking at the money. And kind of the hard part is like, all right, do I go play Tekken? There's some money in it, but it's really difficult. You know, like, do I want to try to win $100,000 versus like Cuddle Core, Obscure, you know, Knee, Kudans, Low High? Like, I'm already scared listing those names, and I can't even beat the people in my house consistently. Right. So,
and, you know, I did have this conversation with someone who was trying to tell me to play Unist. And I'm like, dog, if it's not popular, like, I can't also, I also can't play dollars. Like online well enough. Yeah. And there's not the money in it. And he's like, don't worry about the money.
I worry about the money because the money has to still feed me. I'm like, for bro, when I go to switch over.
I need to worry about the money because there's no events to enter. There's nobody to train against. I mean, I'll go to these same events and I'm still playing the people in my same locals. But like, yeah, I like the game, but I'm not playing enough people that like that are at my level. Like, sure, I can play my best friend Yuli, but if I tried hard enough, I'll beat him very easily because he's not training and entering at the level that I am, that I want to be at.
Yeah, he has a different lifestyle. That's hard to find people entry level, you know?
Like it's a bit of, I'm not coming at him, a bit of a masher, but if I were to work hard enough, I would just do the same thing over and over. A meaty tackle with what's my character's name? With, you know, the dude. Yes, thank you. I was going to say Markava, but Yuli,
he's definitely talking about shoulder. There's only one character unless he's talking about Mika.
Yeah, he uses Markava, and I kept thinking Markava. I know the song. Anyway.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, and it's just like, if there's no community-driven, no good online, like, if there's nobody I can play online, like, I try to play Unist sometimes, and there's nobody on. So I'm just like, why am I even here? So, yeah. With that being said, let's wrap this up with a little bit of... Because
we could talk about it all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Really could. There's so much history.
Literally took it out my mouth. Like there's so much we can go into because it's such a good question of where we could be today versus before. I think I've gotten to a point where I got to learn a game and stick with it. But at the same time, I have to find another sort of goal because I used to want to strive for being known or having a big moment. But I now have to change my goal where it's just to maybe even elevate others and teach others and also even to bring more people in rather than try to keep to the same old. I hope that kept that under a minute. You want to keep it under a minute for your wrap up?
Yeah, I don't mind. At the end of the day, I don't think I'm going to get the same feel that I used to where I thought I should be playing to win all the time or beat someone specific. Now I think my goal has been to teach a lot more and to educate people because that educates me at the same time. So that's my focus and that's how I get better at my games or whatever game I'm playing.
Sick. So let's finish off there. A bit of a teaser, by the way, for next week. We're going to be doing a, because we want to make sure we have everybody here for a good MK review of the movie. It did come out last week. We want to make sure that we get everybody in the building so that, or even in online, to talk about the movie because we know Dre loves his MK lore. We're going to definitely get into that next week on the show. So that's a little bit of a teaser here. I thought it was okay. That's all I'm going to say.
I hate Cole. That's where I'll leave it.
Oh my God. That's all I'm going to say. So spoiler free. So thanks again, everybody. We're going to, call it a night with that one. Thanks again for listening. We do appreciate it. Please definitely let us know. Follow us on our social media accounts. You can find me, Static Gorilla, on most accounts, STATICGRILLA. And Meza, where can they find you, sir?
You guys can find me on Meza FGC, everything across the board, except for probably some of the games I play, but YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, you guys just come through. We'll talk about some stuff. You know how it is.
And also the social media for the mashthosebuttons.com. Well, that's not social media, but that's our website, mashthosebuttons.com/shows and Double Tap. That's where you can find us and some of our other shows on there. And you can check us out on the social media of @TheMashNetwork. And also join our Discord. That is where we are engaging in all types of conversation and what is the link to that again? I want to make sure I got it right.
The link to the Discord would be...
Yes.
Well,
is that mash.gg/Discord? Either way, you can hit us up on
Yeah, mash.gg.
It is. Okay, that's the one. All right, just making sure. Because, you know, this is my first time intro, first time outro, baby. So definitely listen to you can check us out on all podcast on anywhere you get your podcasts. We're probably on there. Definitely Spotify is the newer one, and just let us know whenever you wherever you are, just let us know how we're doing, give us a nice little review. Also shares, they really help out the show. Share the show with others, rate and review on their pod on your favorite podcast platform of choice, and also support us on the Mash Network as well. And definitely the Discord actually gives you a lot of different places of where you can go, especially with our other shows, and you can pick which ones you want to sort of be a community with, and just check us out there. Also stay tuned after the show to hear about our other shows that you may be interested in, whether it's gaming, whether it's a specific game that you like. We do have a lot of other shows that go into detail about some of your favorite fandom. And the plane has landed. Meza, where are you off to now?
Well, for me, guys, I'm definitely going to try to stay focused on my streaming, as I've been, as you guys probably seen. So I'll still keep sticking with that, playing some other games and relaxing. Yeah, not really relaxing, but relaxing.
Tomb Raider 2 has, Tomb Raider 2 has been done for me, but I haven't streamed in a while. I'm really stuck in Persona 5 by myself, so I'm really getting into that music. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening. Please, just share to the best that you can, and have a great evening. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.